Y'all, if y'all haven't figured this out by now, me and Devin are two completely different people.
We really are.
Completely different people.
Because to me, I'm IBJ, like, yes, purpose in the waiting.
Yeah. You're like, yes, I can thrive on my waiting season. My waiting era.
But I get what it
is. I'm like, God. Just because you're not doing something right now that you're totally in love with doesn't mean that you won't one day be able to do that. But you should always try to find what is good about what you're in. We're so quick to find all the negative stuff about our job, about our spouse, whatever. When you start looking at the good, then it will really change your mindset.
Welcome back to the Salty Podcast. Today, I am joined here with Hunter. Y'all really like these episodes when it's me and Hunter, just kind of debriefing.
I think I've realized that I've started every time by saying, hello, everyone.
Yeah, you do. Well, it's cute.
Hello, everyone.
It's your thing.
Yeah.
I like having these conversations with you because, like we've said, it creates an intentional space.
Yeah.
Which is very important. So challenge you this week, create intentional space with your spouse, with your friends, with your family.
Yeah.
Because it really does create good conversation.
I would say whoever you spend a lot of time with. So it's like whoever you live with or maybe your coworkers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good, hon.
Like, write down some questions and ask.
Yeah.
So I did a podcast with one of my friends yesterday and I was just I wasn't caught off guard, but she asked me good questions. And it's questions that make you have to think.
Yeah.
What is one thing that you like about yourself?
One thing that I like about myself?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why did you ask me that?
It just makes you think.
Oh, my
Questions
goodness.
Questions like this make you think.
Yeah.
It does. And self-reflect, because you're well, I don't have anything I like about myself, then you might need to change something.
How do you answer that? Because, like, I feel like for me to even answer that question, it would be, like, me being like conceited.
But it's not.
You know what I mean?
It's not. I mean, it's a self-reflection moment.
No, I mean, you're right.
I could tell you what you like about yourself.
What?
One of the things, because we just have conversations a lot about stuff, and one thing is that you know how to be disciplined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disciplined. Like, you're good at that. Mm-hmm. You create a routine and you are good at sticking with it.
Yeah.
Following through with your words. Like, those are very admirable traits.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me want to do better because I'm like, wow, he really is good at following through with what you say. Because that's something I try to work on. If I say, okay, even as little as I'm setting my alarm, I'm going to get up at 5:30, I'm going to read my Bible, work out, do this all before 7 o'clock. You do it.
Yeah.
If you say you're doing it, you do it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to.
Right.
I have to really coach myself.
Yeah.
Until I make it a habit.
Right.
So that is a good trait.
Thanks.
Yeah. But do you notice that about yourself?
I mean, yeah, I try to be that way. I feel like I work better on a routine or like a schedule like that, especially now that we have kids or, you know, working on plural. For me in that scenario, like, I just work better. Like, if I get the things that I want to do done first in the day, then it just kind of makes the whole day go by easier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think we've talked about that a little bit before on a previous episode, but well, thanks. I appreciate you noticing that.
Of course. And I would say too, because I feel like I've asked you some of this recently. And like one of the other things you said was you're proud of the dad you're becoming with Ivy.
Yeah.
Do you want to dive into that a little bit? Like, kind of how when you started, like, you were really insecure about the dad you were?
I don't know if insecure is the right word. It probably is. But so I was never like a person that liked kids, really. not that I disliked them, but I'm saying. So,
no, I'm the same way. I mean, just like at Easter the other day, we were talking about my cousin. We're like, wow, there are people who are truly meant, are good with kids.
Are just good
with
kids.
That are like, yeah, let's go play football in the yard. And and I'm just like,
Well, I think that has a lot to do with being an introvert and an extrovert too. But I will say the cousin that you're talking about, I think she's introverted. But when it comes to kids, she's like all in, like she's good, which is great.
I've never been a kid person.
I haven't either. And I've always been an introvert, and I've always been, so I don't go out of my way to talk to people, whether they're adults or kids, or so it's hard for me to like see a kid and just like be engaged with them and like be playing or whatever, even if it's my kid. So, I mean, obviously it's easier for me with Ivy because I have a relationship with her.
Yeah.
But so I feel like I had to learn that. And when she was a baby, or her, the first almost 2 years of her life, like I was at the fire department and I was, you know, for the first solid at least year and a half of her life, like I was working a lot of overtime because you were staying at home. So like in a way I almost felt, I don't know, man, it's so difficult because I like,
would you say you were disconnected? It felt disconnect?
No, I don't think I was disconnected, but it was like, it was almost like in the traditional role of like, I was going to work, I was making the money, you were the stay at home mom, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like when you think about like 100 years ago or whatever, like you hear stories about like how family dynamics were, like in my head, that was it. Mm-hmm. Like I can have a relationship with her, and it's not that I didn't want to be more connected with her. It's almost like I just,
to me,
she was very clingy to you. And I've heard people say that when they're clingy, when kids like that are clingy to one parent, makes the other parent like resent the kid. I didn't feel that way at all. Like I didn't resent her at all, because she was around you all the time and I was at work. I mean, obviously she's going to be clingy to you versus me.
And it was just her age too.
It was her age. And I would see other dads like have this really good relationship with their kids, and I was just like, well, that'll never be me because I just don't have that personality.
Yeah,
it's not that I like, I felt like I was a good dad to her, you know?
You were like, that's what I'm outside looking in, like you didn't,
I never knew you felt
that way.
It's kind of funny because I didn't feel like I was not enough.
But also, know? It's I because just, you were a new dad and she was young.
Yeah.
So it is so different when she grew a personality and started wanting to play. And you're like, oh, wait, I can play with her now.
Yeah. And that there was just, difference. There was things like going on in my life and things that just changed drastically. So like you'll hear a lot of people say that like the moment their kids were born, their life changed. Mm-hmm. I didn't experience that.
Yeah.
When Ivy was between 2 and 3 years old, which is another reason, this is kind of a side note, but that's another, you know how I changed my dirt bike number to 23? If you're not a dirt bike person, you won't get this. Like your dirt bike number in any kind of sport, really, your number is like kind of significant to you.
Yeah.
I changed my number to 23. And that's when, like when Ivy was between 2 and 3, I feel like is when I had like my life change moment.
I mean, I can see that too spiritually.
Yeah,
like that's when you stepped into the role of like a man of God,
right?
Versus just going through the motions, living life.
Yes,
being like, yeah, I'm a believer, but
right, yeah. So it obviously is largely like a spiritual change, but that changed me. Like when I was going through that, I just feel like a different person, honestly.
Yeah.
But Ivy has a lot to do with it. It's like obviously Jesus is responsible for my life change. My conversion, because I feel like I wasn't a true Christian until then. Obviously, Jesus is responsible for it, but I don't know if I would have gotten there when I did if it wasn't for Ivy.
What made that switch? Like, Ivy that did that?
I don't know. I mean, there were qualities in me that, like, I wouldn't want her to have as a husband, you know? And I didn't want her husband to have.
Okay, yes.
Sorry, okay. I said that wrong. I'm confused. Sorry. Like I said, there were qualities in me that I would not love it if she was married to a guy with those qualities, right? And so I'm just thinking, well, I don't really want her to see me do that. And even as her dad, like same way, same feelings there. I'm like, well, there's things that I'm like doing that I don't want her to not necessarily see me doing, but I just knew that I could be better, you know? And obviously I'm not perfect and I'll never be perfect.
Yeah.
But like, I just knew that I had to change to be the dad that, and the husband, you know, and the example of what a husband should be for her.
Well, yeah. You do a great job. And like, I can see that that year was your transition period mm-hmm. too. And like, you just went deeper with the Lord, and I just, it's so admirable, and yeah. it makes me want to be better and see myself, because the first 2 years for me were easy because she was very attached to me mm-hmm. and it was easy in right. the way it wasn't that I had to, yeah, played with her and all that, but yeah. it was more of a nurturing thing. And of mm-hmm. course I'm still nurturing her now, but it's in a different way because she's getting older and mm-hmm. she's just becoming her own little person. But so whenever she was a baby, you know, I just kept her fed, gave her cuddles, and she was good. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like I did a good job. I was like,
at the end like of the day. And like that is your like love language yes. too.
At the end of the yeah. day, I was proud of the mother I was that day. Now I feel like I'm going through a new stage of having to transition into like a different kind of mom. Mm-hmm. And so like when I tell you I admire you in the way that you've took on the role of being like a very involved dad, like even playtime, like if she's like, Daddy, come play Barbies with me.
Yeah.
You do it. Like I remember one time that my dad played Barbies with me. And mm-hmm. I remember when he said, do you want me to play with you? I was shocked
yeah.
that he asked that, because that was just not a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't that I didn't ever feel loved by that, but it was just never, he worked. So I was never, playtime never involved parents. I had a lot of brothers and sisters, so that was my playmates.
Yeah.
So it is a new dynamic for me, and I think that's why I struggle a little bit yeah. with that. And so I want to do that, and so I'm trying to be more intentional. Mm-hmm. So whenever I tell her like 5 minutes and I'll come play, like I try to stick to that and go play and be like, put my phone down and all that, because I want her to know that if she needs me, I'll be there. But so yeah, so this phase is due to me.
Yeah.
Cause it has changed a lot from her first years where it was easy for me to just nurture her.
Yeah.
And now it's like, she's wanting that more actiony. She doesn't just need the love. Like, she wants to be played with and all of that. And I think, and she's not just a mommy's girl anymore. Mm-hmm. She is both
yeah.
wanting both of us equally. Yeah. And sometimes you, and like, she wants you to play with her. And so it's more, not that same thing. Like, it doesn't make me resentful. It makes me yeah. happy. Like, I'm like, golly, I'm so glad
yeah.
that she has the dad she has.
Right.
And that she feels safe and comfortable, and like that he's, like, it means so much to me whenever I hear her be like, Daddy, we can play Barbies. And you're like, yeah, baby. Mm-hmm. You don't just be like, no, not right now.
Yeah.
And so yeah. So I'm kind of in that period of like you were last year.
Yeah.
I'm having to be like, gosh, well, what kind of wife? She's observing now. She's a little sponge. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm self-reflecting a lot, being like, what kind of wife she's going to learn from me in that.
Yeah.
How to be a wife.
Yeah.
You're what she could look for in a husband, but for me, it's a wife. Mm-hmm. And I get in my head a lot. Sorry, I'm just going on a tangent real quick. Especially being pregnant, it's made me very lazy. And it's hard because you have a toddler. So it's like, you can't be as lazy as you want to be. But there's moments where I'm like, I hope that she's not seeing this. And I don't want her to think that this is what a good wife does or just whatever, you know?
Right.
And
I mean, you do a great job.
You're sweet. But like, I know our roles are different sometimes. Like, I'm working a lot more, and which we're figuring all that out because it is a different kind of role than the traditional roles that we thought we would have in marriage and like jobs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyways. So yeah, that is me. That's just transparency, what I'm just praying about and how to be a better wife and a mom.
Yeah.
But like, I know she's going to observe it. So I'd want her to be able to see like, mm-hmm. okay, I can be a good wife like that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Going off that, like from the play and things, I mean, it's different because we are here with her all day. I mean, I say that we do, like, my mom keeps her for us a lot. She goes to like a little school 2 days a week. So we're always here with her like half days pretty much every day. Plus the weekends. So I feel like we're with her more than like most parents, you know, if they have like traditional full-time 8-to-5 jobs or they have to go to work. So it's like we get to play with her a lot, but it's also exhausting, you know, and we're at home like working too. So it is just different, and it's a learning curve. Definitely. And no matter like how much I play with her, like I could go in there and play with her for an hour.
It's never enough.
And then for her it's never enough. Which I mean she's 3.
Yeah.
But then like I'm like, all right, I gotta go do, you know, XYZ, blah blah blah. And then she comes back in there like 10 minutes later and she's like, will you play with me? And when I have to tell her no,
it because makes you feel guilty.
Oh, I feel awful.
I know. No, I know.
I'm like, yes. You know, but the house is like, the house could be like on fire in here. And she's like, Daddy, will you come play with me? And
I'm no,
like,
I know. Oh, well, even last night, I felt so guilty because to me, 5 minutes is so quick. But to her, she fell asleep. So
yeah.
Hunter was in there laying with her and she wanted me. So I was like, okay, well, I had to post something for work. And so that was literally going to take me 5 minutes. But Hunter couldn't do it. I was the one that had to do it. Mm-hmm. It literally took me a few minutes.
Yeah.
And so I went in there, I'm like, okay, good. Because I want her to know whenever mommy says that she's coming, I'm coming. And I know that's not always going to be the case. Mm-hmm. Things come up. But I'm trying to stay, follow through because I never want her to see, I don't want our words as her parents and her safety place to fall short.
Yeah.
So that's like a challenge I've been doing. I finished what I was doing and I went in there and I started tapping Hunter. And then he gets up and he's like, and, you know, typically great because now we can go in there or whatever. But it made me sad because mm-hmm. I'm like, she fell asleep thinking her mommy didn't follow through on her word.
Yeah.
And then she woke up in the middle of the night. Hunter goes in there and she brings up that. She asked me. She said.
She's like, is mommy done? She didn't realize that she had been asleep for like 3 hours.
And that made me so sad. So this morning I took the time and I like was like, hey, I said. Last night, I said, you know how mommy told you I'd come in here? I was like, well, I did. I said, but you fell asleep. I was like, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I just let her know that I did come in there.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, guilty. Mom guilt. Parent guilt is such a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like no matter how good we do, we're always going to feel guilty about stuff.
For sure. This stage is way harder. She's kind of coming out of it. But, like, the 2 to 3 thing, I think, is, like, way harder than. Like a newborn's.
It's because of her psychological development.
Yeah. I mean, when you have a newborn, you know, you don't sleep as much. And that's what makes it hard is mm-hmm. the sleep thing. But yeah, this stage is like mentally hard.
Yeah. Okay. Going back to the attributes that you had as a husband that you didn't want her necessarily to seek in a husband or her husband to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those things?
Selfishness. Yeah, that's a big one.
See, and to me, it's outside looking in. I'm like, why? When were you selfish?
I don't know. I just feel like I put like what I wanted above like what was best for her and you at times.
Mm-hmm.
So I really try hard not to do that. That's the biggest one. And I feel like there's other things, I guess, but like that. I feel like just that kind of encompasses. Like all of it.
It does. And I'm not saying you just in general, like even the sermon Sunday was talking about how sin, the middle letter in sin is I. And mm-hmm. I, you know, sin leads to selfishness. Sin is selfish because it's about you and your feelings and the way it makes you feel. And that comes with pride and self-destruct. Like all of it does affect people around you. Like sin does. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
When sin entered into the world, we're receiving benefits, the
death,
the cause of the effect of the sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so same thing with our sin, it has effect on the people around us. So in like this past year, how I said, like, I could just feel this whole shift happen in you.
Yeah.
And it may be that I don't remember what it was like before because it was still good, but I think it was more of a you thing. Like you just felt.
Yeah.
Maybe being selfish and stuff, but I didn't feel that from you.
Yeah.
I feel like I know it's better. It feels like good. Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know. You were always great. Miley replied.
Yeah.
This is a question I wanted to ask at the beginning. So we're kind of like going back a little bit. What's a personal rule that you have for yourself that you never break?
I break all the rules.
I told her, I'm like, I do not know. I said, I know more about you than me.
Yeah.
Like rules that you break. I think it goes back to how you're.
I mean, how.
It can be so simple. As simple as like, I wash my face every night. Or.
Oh.
I always put beard oil in my beard. And if I don't, I get up out of bed and do it. Maybe brushing your teeth at night.
Yeah.
Which is so ironic because you used to not do that.
I used to never brush my teeth at night. You know when I started brushing my teeth that
when
night?
When I started brushing my teeth that night. When?
When I started drinking soda.
Oh, really?
Yes, because it makes my mouth feel gross.
Ew.
Yeah, it feels like I have like a coating in my mouth.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you kind of do, I guess. But I mean, honestly, the first thing that popped in my head was like about you. Like, I don't look at other women. I don't do X, Y, Z with other women. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was the first thing that popped in my head. Well, that's
I never said that with her because I was like thinking.
But I mean, that's kind of a given.
Like.
So it's like, how?
Not going to do.
Not going to text a, you know, person of the opposite sex or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. What about you? Your face wash? Is that what you would say?
No, because I break them. I break my rules.
Oh, I break every rule. Rules are meant to be broken, except regarding you. Golly,
I'm about to say, you just brought up all that, and now you're saying, oh, I broke them all.
Give me a break.
I remember a few months ago, you were struggling with your purpose.
Yeah.
And I feel like the saying, like, there's purpose in the waiting, purpose in the waiting, like, that is such a common thing to say or to hear.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Honestly, I hate any kind of like cliche like sayings like that. Like, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that crap.
You're so funny. Why?
I don't know. I'm just not like, I'm just not an emotional driven person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's, I mean, a lot of like believers say that in like, you know, and they relate it back to God, which that's okay. But like when people say that, like, Or just
purpose in the waiting.
Yes, there's purpose in the waiting.
No judgment, because I say that.
You're doing, yeah. Just any, and I can't. I'm trying to think of more, like as an example, and I can't. But I'm like, don't just keep your opinions to yourself, kind of thing. You know, that's just so me as y'all. That if y'all haven't figured this out by now, me and Devin are two completely different people.
We really are.
Completely different people.
Because to me, I'm IBJ, like, yes, purpose in the waiting.
Yeah. You're like, yes, I can thrive on my waiting season, my waiting era.
But I get what it
is. I'm like, God.
All right, so forget the saying, but just genuinely.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Life.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're lacking purpose or figuring out what you're doing, and you're in a waiting season, meaning there are different seasons. God says there's a season and time for everything.
Yeah.
Just like there's spring, summer, fall, like in the spiritual realm, there are also those. There's going to be a dry season. There's going to be a
wet season.
A pruning season. There's going to be a fruitful season. There's all kinds of that.
Right.
And now, being 25, I feel like I've lived through different seasons.
Yeah. And you're old.
You're older than me.
I'm just kidding, obviously.
We're so young. Old.
Yeah.
Thriving in our 20s. Uh-huh. Okay, anyways.
See, there you go again. Thriving in my 20s.
Girl, okay, listen.
Don't say stuff like that.
All right, will you please talk about the purpose?
Yeah, sure. But wait, what'd you ask me about it?
About purpose in the waiting. Like,
how do I feel about it?
Well, okay, not the saying, but genuinely. Yeah. Like, what do you think? I mean, because you had a season recently.
Yeah, sure.
About saying you were figuring out your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That is a waiting season and waiting for your purpose.
You're right.
To be revealed. So talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, I was going through that season. I feel like, see, this makes me cringe, the fact that I'm about to say this. Okay. My purpose right now is like just trying to be like the best husband and dad that I can be.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's so, like, not cringy at all. Coral. No, that's so sweet.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I mean, but it's like, I don't have like a traditional job and you do most of our job work. So it's like me, I just have like a support role.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's purposeful. It brings purpose.
It is. I have to like remind myself of that because I like typically a male doesn't really thrive in their supportive role. You know what I'm saying? In a traditional sense. So like I've had to learn how to be okay with that and know that that's my season right now and that's fine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's things that I would love to do like when our kids are grown.
Yeah.
You know, but I obviously have a long time for that and that's okay. But, and I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm just not really, the fact that that bothered me as much as it did is kind of surprising because I just don't really let stuff like that bother me. Like I said, I'm not like really an emotional person and I'm not trying to make myself sound cool or whatever. I'm just being honest.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's because this was the transformation year you had? So your whole thought process about your purpose mm-hmm. and when you would talk to me about it was the same time that you were kind of figuring, you were going deeper with God.
Yeah.
And figuring all that out.
Well, yeah. Because, I mean, like when I was, obviously when I was at the fire department, then I'm like, oh, yeah, I have this purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy.
It's very like black and white.
Black and white. And when I left there, it was the same way. I'm like, I was saying like to my friends that were asking me, especially one in particular, that's a Christian, was like, well, what about your, you know, you have this purpose here at the fire department. Like you said, it's black and white. You know, you're going to help these people. You can minister to them in a way. And I'm like, well, look at all these people that we can minister to online. Like yeah. if I fully devote my whatever to that, then, you know, and that's great. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we do that. Because you, I mean, you often tell me, it's like, oh, well, we wouldn't be Hunter and Devin without me, mm-hmm. without you. You saying that to me. And like, I get that. But at the same time, if something were to happen to one of us, like I wouldn't be able to keep the social media stuff going. Like nobody would watch my stuff, which is fine. I don't care. I'm just saying. Well, yeah, but you wouldn't be here. That's the point. But if something happened to me, then you would still be doing social media as your job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that to me is like, which I do a lot of the business type work for us. So like I take care of all that. But still, yeah, I just feel like I said, my purpose right now is to be supportive in the best way that I can for you and Ivy and Brew, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This for me, I hate to say this because it's going to sound like bad, I guess, but like almost it almost is kind of a waiting season for me right now, because I feel like our greatest importance is always our kids, mm-hmm. right, and each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's a given to me, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So like realistically, anybody could say that that's their purpose right now, is mm-hmm. to be the best husband or wife mm-hmm. and best mom or dad to their kids. Sure. Okay.
So do you mean more? Yeah, I agree.
So like occupationally and what I spend my time doing, I feel like I'm still in a season of waiting right now. It's just for me, I have that quote unquote full-time job of being in a supportive role to you and to her, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, but.
Yeah. But you feel like in a better place mentally about finding your purpose.
Yeah.
Because I will say, like, yes, occupationally, I feel like that is a thing. It's purpose equals occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And if it
it's
doesn't.
Not always the case.
No, it doesn't.
And that's what I mean is, like, that's kind of what I was trying to say
mm-hmm.
is, like, I don't want it to sound terrible that I'm saying
yeah.
it's not a good purpose if all you're doing is taking care of your kids and your spouse.
But
or whatever,
sometimes you feel like something's coming. Like, for me, I had. In my waiting mm-hmm. season, when you were working a lot and we had Ivy, I was like postpartum and mm-hmm. I had just kind of gotten over that hump of postpartum depression. And I was in a time of seeking. Like that is what I felt like I was supposed to be doing. I could feel like that God was telling me that my purpose is coming.
Yeah.
Like what that season was for is coming to reveal what that season was for. Yeah. You know, sometimes on this earth we do things and we're never going to know why we went through that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose is never revealed in our time. It could be later on. It could be until we get to heaven.
Yeah.
So everything we do does have a purpose.
Yeah.
But I felt like, you know, because I started videoing, I started mm-hmm. filming, and I kept telling you, I'm like, something's coming. Like, I feel it. But I would say in that season I was in was I'm in the waiting. And there is purpose in the waiting. And that purpose in your waiting period is be the best, like get as close to Jesus as you can, like be a disciple, love God, love people. There is so much purpose and value in the time that we have here, because who knows when God's going to come back? We don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know when we take our last breath.
Yep.
And so every day there is purpose in that day.
Yeah.
And it
you're right.
depends on, so you, it's like your perspective on it.
I feel like that's a good way of saying it. I feel like that is what has changed with me, because I have a goal of something that I would really love to do and then I feel strongly about.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I could also use it as a ministry too. But that, I mean, we're talking like our kids will have to be like independent for me to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I have goals that I'm working towards to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And, but at the same time, I'm also not like, it is about perspective. And like, I know, and I hope, and I think that day will come for me, but like right now I'm content with where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, and before, I think that was the issue, is I knew what my purpose was supposed to be, yeah, but I wasn't content with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this can't be all I'm supposed to be doing right
like
now.
Like this.
Yeah.
You're talking about the supportive role in this job and whatever.
Right.
Yeah. And I would tell Hunter like how much value he brought. He didn't see the value. Like, you didn't see the value that you had in it.
Yeah.
And that because to me, I'm like, well, gosh, like, if he wanted to quit because you would make comments like, I think you should just do all this.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll just go get like a different job or whatever. And I'm like,
yeah,
do you not see? Like, I wouldn't even be able to do this without you and vice versa.
Oh, you could.
I could not. There's no way.
So funny.
But anyway, so I was just so glad that you, I didn't know how long it was going to take for you, because it didn't matter what I told you. It didn't matter what anybody else told you. Like, you have value in this. You are this. You have purpose in this. God had to reveal it to you. Like, you had to accept it for yourself and to believe it for yourself.
Yeah.
And because it's so easy to tell somebody, like, you have purpose in this.
You're right.
But it really is a you thing. Like, you have to figure it out. Like, you have to go to God about it, and you did. Like, you were seeking God in the word and in prayer and seeking counsel, and I think all of that is what made the difference. It wasn't me constantly being like, yes, you do. Like, yes, you do.
Yeah.
Like, that was good. It was good for me to say that. Yeah. I mean, it would be terrible if I was like, yeah, you don't.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, well, good luck finding it.
Right, yeah.
So if there's somebody listening, what would you, that is saying like, gosh, I wish I could be content in my purpose right now, or, you know, because sometimes in life we are always looking for the next thing. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you say?
Well, first of all, like, only God can give you true happiness.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you're seeking, then you know where to find it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What really helped you? I know I just listed the things that I saw that I thought helped you. But when did the switch happen for you?
To be content in my purpose?
Yeah.
You know, I don't really know.
It was just like a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, and just being like, in prayer about it, and like, just because you're not doing something right now that you're totally in love with doesn't mean that you won't one day be able to do that. You know what I'm saying? And at the same time, this is kind of funny me saying this because everybody says I'm the opposite of this, but you should always try to find what is good about what you're in. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're so quick to find all the negative stuff about our job, about our spouse, whatever. Well, like, when you start looking at the good that's in them, then and in them or in your job or whatever, then it will really change your mindset. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of me thinking like there's got to be more of a purpose for me than just supporting you and taking care of her, Ivy, and taking her places while you're working, I'm like, because in my head at that time, I'm like, this should be backwards, you know. Yeah. But no, like, I'm thankful that I get to spend all the time with her that I do. You know what I'm saying? Because it never would have been that way. Mm-hmm. So like, I think back and I'm like, what would our life, like, what would mine and Ivy's relationship looked like if I was still at the fire department? And I'm saying this, there's tons of guys at the fire department that I know that have great relationships with their kids.
Yeah.
So don't take that the wrong way. Like, you can have a job and still be the best parent.
Yeah.
But I know that would have taken like some changing for me. I mean, you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, so I mean, it's just exactly that, being thankful.
Yeah. I'm thankful of the position that we're in. Although I've always been a private person. So like, I don't love the fact that everybody knows who we are. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of bothers me a little bit. So it's like, I'm not just in love with doing social media as a job. Yeah. No, but like, I'm thankful for the opportunities that it's given us. I'm thankful for the ministry that it's given us. And so I think, and I'm like, we just really need to give like all of the glory of our platform, if you want to call it that. And it's not all glory, because there are some people that hate us. But like, we just need to give all that like back to God, because he's the one that blessed us with this. Yeah. Like, he, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
He blessed us to be able to stay home. You know, we can homeschool Ivy if we want to. Like, we never would have been able to do that before. Yeah. I try to look at the positives and be thankful for what he has given us in the season that we're in, because it could all be taken away. And to like right now, let's just say we're planning on homeschooling our kids and we can be home with them. And yes, we have to work, but we have help. And like, I think back now and I'm like, man, if I had to go get a job at like a car salesman, like 6 days a week, dude, I'd be in a dark place, man. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with being a car salesman. It's just any full-time job like that. Like, yeah, it would take some serious adjusting.
Going from this to that, yeah. I think that being content in your time, mm-hmm. in the purpose that you're in now, is so good.
Yeah.
You touched on so many things. Thankfulness. Going to God about things. Going to God about a big decision or small decisions. We recently had this opportunity I don't know why I did that for work.
Yeah.
We had this opportunity recently to go do something really cool for work, for the podcast actually. And it was something that it wasn't a bad thing. It was good, but I felt so much anxiety about it. And the reason is because I never took it to God first. I just said, yeah, we'll do it. It was a cool opportunity. Why not? As outside looking in, business opportunity, great business opportunity. It'd be fun, all of that. But there was something that just wasn't sitting right. And this was the second time I've had this feeling to do with the podcast. This is going to show, I'm saying, you'll get my point in a minute.
Yeah.
But these things are not bad things. Mm-hmm. They're good things. You're like, oh, you're going to talk about Jesus for your podcast or whatever it is. Like, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So why would God tell you not to do that? Well, I just had this feeling and this urgency to take it to God and pray about it. Because I'm like, I don't know why I'm feeling this way. Like, I should be excited about this. This isn't the way I felt when I first started this or whenever I felt like God was bringing me into this new purpose or opening this door for this. So I was talking to Hunter about it, and then I was like, I really need to pray about it. I don't know why I feel this way. It was confusing why I felt that way.
Right.
Well, it ended up, after a lot of prayer and talking about it, I said no. Mm-hmm. I felt like God wanted me to say no to this opportunity. And being obedient with that first no, I was rewarded, or as people would say, like, if you're obedient to God, you'll be rewarded, like whatever. Right. That doesn't always mean it's a prize. Right. Like, here you go, here's your new house, like here's some money or whatever. Like, no, it was an emotional thing. I was in that anxiety immediately left, and I was filled with peace.
Yeah.
And that to me was worth saying no. Definitely. I didn't know saying no was going to cause that peace to come over me. I thought, if I say no to this, that makes me have to reconsider everything. Do I continue the podcast? Like, if I'm not hype about it like this, I mean, it's about Jesus.
Yeah.
But that not all things that we say no to are bad things.
Yeah. Well, also, like I said earlier, there's a time for everything. Mm-hmm. So it's not to say that we would never go there and do what we're talking about doing. But now it's just not the time.
Right.
You know?
And it was like God is teaching me to be content with the time I'm in. And so, yes, business-wise, that seems great. It would, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's not in God's time.
It's crazy.
And if it's not in God's time, you're not going to feel the fruits of the labor or the fruits of him and that and feel joy and peace and whatever. It almost can be crippling if you're out. It is crippling if you're out of his will, even if it looks like a good thing. So I've always, like, for years have been learning to say no to things.
Yeah.
And this, I'm still learning. And like, I'm trying to hear God's voice instead of the world's voice. And that was an instance where I heard God's voice loud and clear, and I'm so glad that I went to him about it, and now I have that peace about that situation and can tell other people, just because it sounds like a good thing doesn't always mean you have to do it.
Right. Amen, sister. There's always a right time for it. Mm-hmm. So, like, just because we, now is not the time, doesn't mean we won't ever go there and do that, what we were planning on doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a season and a time for everything. And if you follow, what do you think is God's time? That's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Because there's no telling. It's kind of crazy. There's probably a reason that you were anxious about going.
Yeah. You
know, whether something could have happened to us, like physically or not, you know, everybody always thinks about the worst, but it could have just been a bad trip for us.
Yeah.
We could have gotten a, you know, whatever.
And it could be that God wanted us to prioritize that weekend at home with Ivy. Because she would have been with us, but we would have been working and busy. And so it could just be that, just like, y'all need this time.
Yeah.
Or it could be that there's something else going to come up that we would have missed if we said yes to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. I was saying yes out of my spirit, out of my flesh, because it made sense logically.
Yeah, for sure. It does.
So, yeah. So take everything to God. Go to him about everything, because he will give you the clarity you need. Yeah. And it actually was a few week period of me praying about it. Do you remember that? When I started getting the iffiness about it?
Yeah.
So it wasn't an instant, God, give me the answer I need. Bam, here he says, I know.
Yeah.
No, it was like a...
Well, actually, you said no.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, okay, great. We're not doing it. And then like a few days later... You're like, no, we'll just do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang it.
Yeah.
Because well, I just want to be home if we can.
I was just trying to figure out. I needed full clarity on it. Yeah. Right.
And then, so.
Anyways, well, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'll be sure to come back.
Yeah, for sure. You're so cute. I love you so much. All right. Well, thank y'all for listening. And we'll see you next Monday.
Bye.
Bye.